I shook and found a wall to lean on until my head cleared a little, and then walked stiffly over to Michael. Bits of broken glass fell from folds in my duster. Michael glanced up as I came over to him.
Harry, he said.
It isn't that I'm not glad to see you, I said, but you couldn't have jumped down and beheaded the monster about 2 minutes sooner? Michael was usually pretty good about taking a joke. This time he didn't even smile.
No, I'm sorry.
I frowned at him. How did you find me? How did you know?
Good advice.
Which could have been anything from spotting my car nearby to being told by an angelic chorus. The Knights of the Cross always seemed to turn up in bad places when they were badly needed. Sometimes coincidence seemed to go to incredible lengths to see to it that they were in the right place at the right time. I didn't think I wanted to know. I nodded at the demon's fallen body and said, "What the hell was that thing?"
"He wasn't a thing, Harry," Michael said.
He continued staring down at the remains of the demon, and just about then they started shimmering. It only took a few seconds for the demon to dissolve into the form of the man I'd seen in the soul gaze, thin, gray-haired, dressed in rags. Except that, in the soul gaze, his head hadn't been lying 3 feet away like that. I didn't think a severed head should have held an expression, but it did. One of absolute terror, his mouth locked open in a silent scream. The sigil I'd seen on the cliff face stood out on his forehead like a fresh scab, dark and ugly. There was a glitter of orange-red light. The sigil vanished, and something clinked on the asphalt. A silver coin, a little smaller than a quarter, rolled away from the man's head, bounced against my foot, and then settled onto the ground. A second later, the body let out a hissing, sighing sound and began to run with streaks of green-black goo. The body just deflated in on itself, noxious fumes and a spreading puddle of disgusting slime, the only things remaining. "That's it," I said, staring down and trying to keep myself from visibly trembling. "The weirdness has just gone off the end of my meter. I'm going home and going to bed." I bent to recover the coin before the slime engulfed it. The old man snapped his cane at my wrist, growling, "No!" It stung. I jerked my hand back, shaking my fingers, and scowled at him. "Stars and stones, Michael, who is this guy?" Michael drew a square of white cloth from his pocket and unfolded it.
"Shiro Yoshimo. He was my teacher when I became a Knight of the Cross."
The old man grunted at me. I nodded at the wounded man and asked, "How about him?" The tall black man glanced up at me as the old knight began examining his arm. He looked me up and down without any sign of approval, glowered, and said,
"Sonya." "The newest of our order," Michael added.
He shook out the cloth, revealing two pairs of crosses embroidered in silver thread upon it. Michael knelt down and picked up the coin through the cloth, turned it over, then folded the cloth completely around the silver. I frowned down at the coin as he did. One side bore some ancient portrait, maybe of a man's profile. The opposite side had some other design that was hidden under a stain in the shape of a rune, the one I'd seen on the demon Ursiel's forehead.
"What's that?" I asked.
"Shiro was protecting you," Michael said, rather than answering the question.
Michael looked over at Shiro, who stood with a towering Sonya, and asked,
"How is he?"
"Broken arm," the old man reported. "We should get off the street."
"Agreed,"
rumbled Sonya. The older knight fashioned a makeshift sling from the shredded overcoat, and the tall young man slipped his arm into it without a sound of complaint.
"You'd better come with us, Harry," Michael said. "Father Forthill can get you a cot."
Whoa, I said. "You never answer my question. What was that?" Michael frowned at me and said,
"It's a long story and there's little time."
I folded my arms. "Make time. I'm not going anywhere until I know what the hell is going on here." The little old knight snorted and said,
"Hell, that is what's going on."
He opened his hand to me and said,
"Please give them back."
I stared at him for a second until I remembered his spectacles.
I handed them to him, and he put them on, making his eyes goggle out hugely again.
"Wait a minute," I said to Michael. "This thing was one of the Fallen?"
Michael nodded, and a chill went through me.
"That's impossible," I said. "The Fallen can't do things like that."
I gestured at the puddle of slime.
"They aren't allowed."
"Some are," Michael said, his voice quiet.
"Please believe me. You are in great danger. I know what you've been hired to find, and so do they."
Shiro stalked down to the end of the alley and swept his gaze around.
"Oi! Michael, we must go."
"If he will not come, he will not come," Sonya said.
He glared at me, then followed Shiro.
"Michael," I began.
"Listen to me," Michael said.
He held up the folded white cloth.
"There are more where this one came from, Harry. 29 of them. And we think they're after you."